There are some days in the year when the readings in church are so familiar, we know them so well that they've become part of our story. Every year on Good Friday, we read the story of suffering and death of our Lord, of Jesus, through the eyes of the writer, John. As we know it, whenever we ask two people to give an account of the same story, it will become slightly different. And John's account of Jesus' trial and death has a particular flavour. And it's this. Jesus walks through it all calmly, committed to the path before him, and all around him people become increasingly confused and agitated. Jesus knows what he is doing. Jesus knows this is God's plan. We know the story well. The challenge is to find something we can take home from it today. So let's ask ourselves, on this day, on this Good Friday, why did Jesus die? I don't mean physically, of course, because from the moment when the baby Jesus cried his first breath, we know that Jesus would also cry a last breath at his death. And I don't mean plainly, because we have just read that he was arrested, tried, and then led to death. But how were God's purposes fulfilled by the way Jesus died? There are many things that we remember about Jesus, many things he taught us, centered on the way he chose to live. His concern for workers, his inclusion of women, his friendship with outsiders, his healing miracles, his teaching of the true meaning of Scripture, welcoming children, his insistence that every person is worthwhile in God's eyes. Surely, the longer he lived, the greater impact he could have had, the more people he could have taught, the more he could have reached, the more he could have brought about the approaching kingdom of God. Could he not have lived to an old age and achieved the same things? John's reading of the story today shows us clearly that the answer is no. Jesus' calm and certain commitment that this reading highlights leads inevitably to the ultimate clash with those opposed to him and his teachings. Had Jesus just been concerned with ethics, with moral living, with being a good teacher, then people could just have simply chosen to ignore him. They could have just thought him a crackpot. But Jesus said more than this. He said he was God's son. He said he came to show us how much God loves us, to show us that God loves us so much that he sent his own self, his son, in person to share God's love with us. God invites us into this family through love. Don't forget that just hours earlier on this same night, when he shared the last meal with his friends, Jesus urged them to love one another just as he loved them. And for calling himself God's son, for calling himself divine, Jesus made many enemies. The Roman authorities allowed no other rulers. The Jewish authorities allowed no other gods. Yet Jesus calmly and steadfastly continued to declare God's love for us, God's desire for us to know and follow God's way. To be, as Jesus said, part of God's kingdom. That was unacceptable to the Romans, who only recognized Caesar's kingdom. It was unacceptable to the priests and the Pharisees, who only recognized the law and the prophets as the way into God's kingdom. So this is what the people couldn't ignore. This is what the people rejected. And still, Jesus proclaimed God's love right to his death. There are many images that are central to this story. The cross, of course. The fire, the crowing cock, the crown of thorns and the purple robe, the spices and the tomb. But these are just things. What this story is full of is its people, waves and waves of people, a legion of soldiers in the garden, the crowds around Pilate's palace and the temple, those gathered in the courtyard and standing by watching the crucifixions. All these people responded to Jesus in different ways. Many of them, in contrast to Jesus' steadfastness, became more and more disconcerted as the story progressed. We have spoken together in unison this morning. It has been noisy. Listen to the noise. Listen to the voices. Judas' betrayal, Peter's denial, the high priest's accusation, Pilate's exasperation, and the crowd's derision. All these people failed Jesus. Some, like the soldiers, failed him because they blindly did what they were told without thinking if that was the correct thing to do. That's what soldiers do. Others, like the crowd, failed him because they were willing to be one of the mob and found safety in numbers. That's what crowds do. The chief priests and the Pharisees failed him because they felt threatened by him. Pilate failed him because he submitted under pressure. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who helped to bury him, they too failed him because they were too scared to openly admit that they were his followers. And even Jesus' closest friends failed him. Judas, who betrayed him, failed to resist the pull of evil. And Peter, his friend, failed him because he compromised the truth out of fear. These are the voices of rejection, betrayal, and fear. And now, listen to Jesus' voice. I am the one you are looking for. You have heard what I said. I have always spoken plainly to you. My kingdom isn't of this world. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to me. Are you listening? There's an immediacy to this story that leads to Jesus' death after only 3 years of public ministry. There's an inevitability that one so sure and so steadfast of who he was and why he was here would eventually clash terribly with those around him. Jesus' message wasn't one that could be ignored. Are you listening to Jesus? I am the one you are looking for. You have heard what I said. I have always spoken plainly to you. My kingdom isn't of this world. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to me. Jesus, to put it simply, chose this hill on which to die. His message was so important it had to be told. And knowing it would be rejected, Jesus told it anyway. Jesus held nothing back. He showed us how faithful he was to the truth, even despite death. So, why did Jesus die? Well, I know this is a spoiler for Easter Day, but we do know the end of the story. Jesus offered us a place in God's kingdom, a kingdom that is both here and now when we accept by living God's way, and a kingdom that is in the future, which we accept through God's love. Love one another, just as I have loved you. We rejected that offer. We rejected God's Son. We rejected God's love. And God's answer was to show that human rejection wasn't the final answer. Death was not the last word. God's love is stronger than our rejection. God's love is stronger than death. But don't jump too quickly to Easter today. Remember what it cost Jesus to show us God's love. Remember the voices of betrayal, denial, and derision. Remember the hurt, the pain, the suffering, and the rejection. Remember Jesus' death. Walk through Good Friday spiritually, emotionally, and intellectually, following Jesus who chose this path calmly and deliberately. The center of our faith is not just a good teacher who died, but God Himself who conquered death for life. This is our faith, but it only makes sense in the light of Good Friday.